Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
Aaron Posner.
And what is your role with The Humans, sir?
I was the director of The Humans.
Awesome. Which is streaming now for Olney Theater Center, I think now through, is it October 4th, I believe?
I think that's great.
Okay, cool. Now, tell me, this was obviously supposed to be a live, in-person show for people to come to. But coronavirus struck. Where were you in the rehearsal process, in the, you know, building the set process, all of that, you know, when this sucker hit?
We were about 10 days into rehearsal, which is, you know, a little less than half of the rehearsal process before tech. They had built, I think, a good portion of the set, half or 50, 70% of the set was built. Costumes were designed, you know, lighting, plots were in. Everything was moving pretty rapidly at that point. The last rehearsal we had in the rehearsal room, we did a sort of very rough stumble through of the show. We had sort of felt this coming, and I wanted to get through it one time before we had what I hoped would be a pause. Turned out not to be a pause, but so that's where we were. We were right in the middle of things, but far from the end.
Gotcha. How you know, it must have been somewhat deflating to say, damn, you know, we had all this ready to go and now we, you know, now we're kind of stuck here for a couple months. But take me through sort of the emotion of, yeah, I guess it's like stages of grief. It's like you know, take me just through your emotions of, man, I'm bummed we have this set built and everything, to then suddenly being like, you know what, we're going to make the best of this. We're going to do Zoom. We're going to, you know, we're going to try to find a silver lining here.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's a great play, and we had an exceptional cast full of just some of the area's best actors. So and some who had worked together before and some who hadn't, and it was just a really sort of engaging, full throttle rehearsal experience up until where we were. And it was, what was heartbreaking was that it was going so well and that the show is so timely to, you know, to, as it was 5 years ago, as it was even more so a year ago. It feels like with every new crisis, it's like, sadly, it gets more timely. It's like the fact that Beckett feels like real life now is, you know, is the fact that things are just getting trickier and trickier. So we felt like we were telling a story that was important and well worth telling at this time. So to have to stop was hard. And certainly not to be able to do it live and in person the way theater is meant to be and the way we did it back in the olden times before March. You know, that was just hard. And I think emotionally difficult for everyone. But this whole time has been a time of, of looking for silver linings or going like a lot of, just because I've never done it before doesn't mean I won't try and do it now. Just because, you know, doing lots of things that are adjacent to things you've done before, but I'm teaching differently, I'm directing differently, I'm writing and creating things differently. Everybody is sort of making it up as we go along. So with when Olney got back to us to say, hey, we have the possibility of getting it out on Zoom and we have the chance of doing a sort of unique version of this play that isn't just a Zoom reading, but something significantly enhanced from that, that was something that got us all really excited and got us back into a room together, even if it was a virtual room.
Right. So explain how exactly it was filmed. Is it six different actors in six different locations? Like, explain where exactly, what were all the locations?
It was insane. It was, you know, rehearsing via Zoom so that we were all connected, but everyone recording on video cameras, each individually in their own home. So, you know, what you usually would have in a film shoot with one actor, but a director, an assistant director, sound, lights, camera people, you know, a dozen people for every one actor, 20 people. We had none people for every one person. We had people basically, or sometimes one person helping, but we had people's wives and husbands and friends, you know, helping out, children, so helping out where they could. But basically we were creating six tiny film studios in people's homes to do an editable version of sort of a, so this this event ends up sitting someplace in a unique ground between a kind of Zoom conversation and a staged performance on a picture of the set in a very, in a sort of set location. So it isn't quite like anything I had ever done before, or that I'd ever seen before, or that any of us had ever done before. But I think what we ended up with is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I hear, you know, because it's on Zoom and it is the humans, I hear you've sort of combined those two terms into a sort of a special name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think of it as Zoom Plus. I don't know what anybody else was calling it. I think of it as a sort of a Zoom Plus stage reading thing.
I was told you guys have affectionately referred to it as the Zoomins.
The Zoomins, yes, yes. The event itself, right, absolutely. It's been a while since we had said that, but absolutely, the Zoomins is how we were talking about it while we were shooting it, yeah.
I think that's hilarious. All right, well, without further ado, let's dive just a little bit in. Tell me the premise of the play, because I know it's a Tony winner and on Broadway, and I think it even came to, a couple years back, I came to the Kennedy Center with John Boy from the Waltons was in it. But now you guys are doing it at Olney. Remind us, you know, what Stephen Karam's play is about.
Yeah, it's a family drama. It sits right there in sort of core great American family dramas of like, it's hard to be a human and it's hard to be in a family. And so it sort of follows a kind of Arthur Miller tradition, even a Chekhov tradition in that sort of, it's not about big actions. It's not about, it's not a ton of plot. It's just a family getting together for a Thanksgiving dinner. But he was really looking at just how hard things were getting for regular families in America for a variety of reasons, for health reasons, for financial reasons, for emotional reasons, for connectional reasons, relational reasons. And he sort of took these sort of core difficulties of being a person in the world and sort of divvied them out to the characters in it. And so you get this sort of very human, very specific. It feels very detailed and very specific to this one family from Scranton, Pennsylvania, gathering in New York's Chinatown for a Thanksgiving dinner. But because it's so specific, it also feels really universal, really difficult in some ways. And of course, he took all of, like the great writers do, he took all of this specificity and difficulty. And because he really wanted people to watch it, he made it really funny too. So what you have is a very funny, very quirky, very human story.
Awesome. And so that's sort of like a, you know, thematic overview of what's going on, but tell me about the characters, the Blakes.
You have a mom and a dad. He's been, you know, he worked at a private school as a kind of janitor and athletic coach, you know, athletic sort of equipment manager. You know, she works in an office at a job that she got right out of high school. So they are, you know, I think they're scraping by. They've done okay. They have two daughters, one who's become a lawyer in Philly. They still live in Scranton. One who wants to be a musician, has sort of followed the artistic path, and she's the one who's living downtown in Chinatown with her boyfriend. And then there's the Eric, the father, his mother, who they call Momo, who is pretty deep into dementia when the play takes place, where they, and so they've become her caretaker. You know, what was hard is that, you know, that's the story. It's this very sort of not special and therefore, you know, sort of special, like we're all special kind of American family. And, you know, everyone who comes in contact with this play starts sort of immediately telling stories of their family, their best friend's family, their extended family, because it's the stuff that all of us, that basically everybody deals with, whether it's just financial distress or health complications. You know, one of the daughters has ulcerative colitis, so she is dealing with just ongoing health issues, not the worst, but not good. And so it's a lot of that. It's like, it's not big D drama. It's just full of small D drama and the drama that makes our lives complicated. And there's a lot of love in it and there's a lot of humor in it and there's a lot of struggle in it.
Awesome. And as you're saying, so it all sort of follows this family and gathering for a unique, you know, Thanksgiving dinner coming from out of town and everything. You guys are streaming this sort of as we lead up to another unique Thanksgiving. I mean, it's kind of timely in that way, right?
Totally is. And, you know, and there's something about that, that, you know, and it happened, the play happens in real time. Like it really follows just that. There's no time jumps. It's just, you know, an hour and 40 minutes in the lives of these people on a Thanksgiving in America. And yeah, it is shocking that what felt so timely when we embarked on it, you know, we started the design process over a year ago and it felt so timely and so of the moment, even though it does, it has obviously nothing to do, you know, the play has nothing to do with Corona or with this kind of isolation, but it does have to do with isolation, and it doesn't have to do with this financial crisis. It has to do with the last financial crisis and personal financial crisis. So it's, I think it's cathartic because I think it, I do think it is genuinely, that's been the brilliance of the play, is that it, it speaks to us where we live and it tells a story that we're familiar with it in a way that maybe helps us deal with it a little better or gives us a little hope or sort of inspires a little resilience.
And it is sort of, you know, maybe unlike other plays with maybe multiple acts and intermissions and stuff, this one is, from what I recall, it's like a one-act play that goes over a pretty fast-paced, like, 90 minutes. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that makes it sort of conducive for streaming as well, right?
Yeah, because it's on one set in one location. It's a two-floor apartment, and we have those sort of represented in the sort of in this Zoom version. Because we can move the people around within the world, you do get, you don't have them sort of, you don't get little talking heads sort of bouncing around the screen pretending to like cross down, let, you know, move over here or go sit on the sofa. But we do have them in relation to each other in a way that makes sense for the story, which just puts it way, way, way better than the kind of Zoom reading where you're just looking at talking heads in boxes. So we do, you do get a sense of the dynamics of people connecting and reconnecting as you do during a family gathering. But yeah, it's a hundred minutes of real time, you know, event. And there are no, yeah, there are no jumps. It's just these people living through this little moment in their lives.
And I assume the costumes that you guys had prepared, like, were those sort of just, you know, shipped to the actors' houses so they can actually wear them, or were they just working with, you know, rummaging through their own closets, or how did that work?
Combination. Some of the things that we had bought and we had prepared, we did get out to the actors, and then there was some things looked, you know, things looked different on Zoom than they would have looked in person, so there was some last minute reshuffling. But Kelsey, who was our costume designer, she sort of consulted with all of the actors. I mean, all of our, we had this excellent design team. Max Doolittle, our lighting designer, he helped out with the lighting. Paige, our set designer, helped figure out exactly, we did it, we film, you know, we have, the background is the model of her set for this production. So Sarah O'Halloran, our sound designer, did the sound for the Zoom production because that we still needed. So we managed to use, we used the whole team that had been part of this, and then we have this amazing cast of actors. So it remained, and then, you know, only had to step up and sort of figure out how to be film producers as well as theater producers. So it was a big group effort and fun and challenging.
Awesome. Well, you know, before we hop off here, you know, anything else we want to tell the listeners about how they can actually enjoy this thing? I assume they just go to the All In Theater website, and it's, you know, that, what is it, $30 or something like that?
Something like that. I think 35. I think it won the Tony for a reason. It goes deep. It is a really tremendously worthwhile play. So I hope people will check it out if they can. The response that we've had has been really, really good. I do think we were able, you know, I won't lie to you. I miss live theater. I miss a bunch of people in a room breathing and laughing and talking together and being engaged in a room. But I think that we were surprisingly successful for something we were figuring out as we went, at capturing what's essential in that story, and the actors do an incredible job. So I think it's well worth checking out.
Awesome. And also explain too, I mean, how, you know, when they do log on and they, you know, when they see that ticket price or, you know, they just determine whether, what, you know, they want to pay and what they want to do, explain how that's all, not only are they getting this great, you know, award-winning play, but how it's helpful to Alney Theater and these actors and crew members who've all been out of work for like 6 months. You know, speak to that a little bit about how it's it's kind of for a good cause too.
Oh, it's not kind of for a good cause. Thank you for saying so. It's for an excellent cause. I mean, Olney is an amazing theater. They're a first-rate, high-class professional theater. And they, you know, and the fact that they stepped up for their artists to try and make this happen, not only for their audiences and their donors and everybody else, but for the artists who are put out of work. You know, this is a devastating time in the professional theater where, you know, and of course the reality is that so many theater artists, when they are not working in theater, they're often working in service industries that have also been decimated. So there are so many people struggling so deeply right now, and all of the theaters are struggling. So yeah, I mean, it's easy to sort of go like, oh my gosh, that's a lot to watch something on video, but it's still way less than a ticket price. And the performance is worth it, but stepping up for Olney and for everything one can do for any, you know, a lot of theaters or streaming things, and anything you can do to step up for any of them is so deeply, deeply appreciated by the theaters who we want to be there when we get back. I think the audiences are going to come dying to come back and be in live theater spaces again and sharing stories and hearing the stories of their lives again. And if we want those theaters to be there waiting for us, we have to try and support them the best we can right now.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. So we're just wrapping it up. Where do you guys stand then looking forward? I mean, is obviously like all industries, this, we don't really know when exactly everything's going to return to normal. Gosh, it could be well into next year as far as we know. So like, but what do you guys have is there any sort of reopening plan in terms of, cause I know Maryland just went to phase 3. Not everyone is still comfortable with it, but everyone's different. But are you guys planning any in-person things coming up like the Kennedy Center just announced, or is it going to be virtual stuff for a while, or what's the
Yeah, I'm a freelancer at Olney, so I don't know about, I mean, what I know is that every theater is making plans, revising those plans, throwing out those plans, making new plans, you know, like everything shifts so fast that what people know is that nothing that they are deciding about 6 months from now or 9 months from now is necessarily going to hold. There's just too many factors. Only like many of the theaters in DC is being proactive for get out material to their audiences, to keep connected to their artists, to try and do right by everybody. You know, Olney has been fabulous to the team putting on The Humans, and it's what everybody's trying to do. The theater community here, even though we're in theoretical competition, we're a really close community of people who are working to make this art form, you know, vital for people today. And like I said, I do think that for all the hardships, and people will be lost and some organizations might not make it, that's entirely possible and even likely. But I do think the theater wants to be poised to come roaring back, because I think we all believe that people are missing these stories and missing the role of theater in their lives. And that I think people will be, when it's safe, people will be incredibly eager to get back into rooms to hear stories and connect to being human, not to pull it back to the title of the play, but get back to being sort of broken, flawed, wonderful human beings together, sharing stories, which is a core human need.
Awesome. Well, again, everyone, it's The Humans, award-winning play, streaming on Olney Theater's website, olneytheater.org, now through October 4th. So get your tickets now and log in, watch from the comfort of your home, and support a great cause. So thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks so much.